Back here at Clackamas High School, where the Tumwater Thunderbirds came down and left with a 35-19 victory here at Clackamas High School, spoiling homecoming. So there'll be a lot of consoling on the dance floor tonight.
Hopefully not too much consoling.
Well, no, they have chaperones for that.
My son goes here. I hope there's nothing extra going on the dance floor.
Of course not. Of course not. God. Just a lot of slow songs. Don't worry about it.
I don't know. I just get home safe, buddy.
We got the scoreboard coming up here at the top of the hour. We'll talk a little recruiting before we get out of here. While we have Andrew Nemec, he has been trying to sort out, as many of us are, just what happened this last week with Devin Williams looking like he was going to Oregon State, then today announcing he's going to Oregon. And is it a done deal, or what do we need to wait for to see so we know it's finalized and done? So kind of laying things out here for that USC transfer, the five-star transfer, to finally not only say where he's going, but to actually be where he's going. But before we get to all of that, let's get out to our field reporters. I believe both of our games are in the books. We'll start upset in the making at Tigard. The Tigers were leading Lake Oswego late. Will Darkins, how did this one end up?
Well, Swag, let me just first preface by saying this is a family programming radio station, and anything on a high school dance floor, let's keep it on the high school dance floor. Now, going to the absolute upset here, this was a complete upset and one that I did not see coming. I don't even think the entire state saw it coming. Tigers, they come out with it 31-7 against Lake Oswego. And really, after even the first half, it seemed like the Lakers were pretty dejected. You go to the third quarter, Tiger gets the ball, and they literally just shoot the clock for 6 minutes, just doing inside zone running plays. Couple penalties here and there, but they were effectively able to control the ball game in the third quarter by just running off so much time. Well, anyway, that drive and that span, that ended with a 1 yard touchdown run from Josh Burns. Tiger was in control at that point, 24-7. Lake Oswego was trying to fight back at certain points. They were trying to get the ball downfield. But again, as I said before in the halftime report, Thomas Dukart not being there really hampered Lake Oswego a lot, making those big plays off of play action. They just didn't have that deep threat. Casey Filkins, for the most part in this game, was completely kept under wraps. They tried to kind of do everything they could, swing passes, screens, draws, delays. It just didn't seem to work. Tigers, they were pretty stout defensively. And so down the line in the fourth quarter, they started to really pour it on. Hunter Gilbert, he ran a nifty little out route that turned into a 54-yard touchdown run. And really from that point on, it was just over. Tigers, again, upsetting number one Lake Oswego, not number one for very long, 31-7. It will be interesting to see how the Lakers will be able to bounce back in the next week, and also how the Tigers will be able to respond after getting this big win. Reporting live from Tigard High School, I'm Will Darkins for the Power Wrench Game of the Week on 1080 The Fan.
So the Lakers fall. Tigard moves to the top of the Three Rivers League at 4-0. We'll see if they are tied with Tualatin, who was taking on Sunset tonight. We'll look for a final score there as they're starting to come in. Want to get back to the PIL, though, before we hit the top of the hour. Rashad Taylor was out at Franklin taking in Grant and Roosevelt. The Generals were up early. Do the Rough Riders mount a comeback, Rashad?
Well, the Rough Riders tried to mount a comeback, but it really didn't help them much. But there was some cool things if you're a Rough Riders fan or student that you could look at tonight. Coach Price put his son TJ in at the running back position to start in the third quarter, and he bullied his way all the way down the field, and that set up an 8-yard touchdown by DeMar J. Nelson. That made the score at least 45-12, the Generals. And then Jayshon Pete got one step closer to doing the Al Bundy. That's 4 touchdowns in one game. He scored, and that made the score 52-14. Malik Saab, quarterback from Roosevelt, he's hella fast. 82 yards, untouched to pay dirt. That's his second touchdown of the night. Scores 52-22. And then Tim Price, he had, get this, 75-yard run touchdown. Like, here's a guy that plays defensive end and defensive tackle, untouched. The nearest guy to him had to be at least 9 yards off of him. He got ghost, and he scored. But then an unlisted freshman for Grant. I'm still kind of looking for his name and can't find it. he's not even on the program for the evening, and he had a 75-yard touchdown. Like, everybody had touchdowns of at least 75 yards, but tonight the general was able to pull it out. The score, 66-30. Unfortunately for Coach Price and the Rough Riders, they just weren't able to do enough tonight. And for Beck's boys on the other side, this is their first league win of the year, so we'll see what the Generals will do with this going into next week. Checking in from Franklin High School, Rashad Taylor for the Les Schwab Tires post-game scoreboard show on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. And, of course, they'll be out next Friday night taking in some of the other key games that we will not be able to be at. We are going to be back at Hillsborough Stadium for the Holy War, Jesuit and Central Catholic, both trying to rally after taking on some tough losses early in the season. Jesuit overcoming injuries themselves, which seems to be a theme early on this season. Central Catholic survived what Eastside Catholic did to them, bounced back nicely last week. They were in a tough one with 7th-ranked Sherwood on the road tonight. That was coming down to the wire, so we'll find out how that one did. But should be an interesting matchup next Friday night.
No doubt. I mean, it's going to be one of the best matchups of the entire season. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen, and I cannot wait to see how this season unfolds, because we thought coming into the year there was potential that this Lake Oswego team would just keep it rolling and be an undisputed, unquestionable number one. The issue was going to be, can they stay balanced, or is it the Casey Filkins show? Are they going to be able to throw? And so far this season, the answer's been no. They haven't been able to throw, and not only have they not been able to throw, but now Thomas Ducard, a first-team all-state wide receiver, is not really able to play wide receiver. And so that takes another big weapon out of their offense. And I wrote today, I think there are six teams that can win the state title. And I put Tigard certainly in that mix and wrote, we could have a new number one this week after this Tigard-Lake Oswego game. Watch out. And sure enough, here we are. We're going to have a new number one. And Tigard saying, hey, I may not have been in the top three coming into tonight, but they absolutely made a case to be the new number one going forward after that win over Lake Oswego tonight.
We'll step aside as we are collecting the finals as quickly as they are coming in. Mike Lynch will have a scoreboard update, let you know how things are finishing up between Cal and Arizona State, the other college action for the night, as well as what's left of the pennant races in the major leagues. And then we'll be back. Drum Corps will be ready. We'll run through all the scores that we've got at this point tonight, talk a little recruiting as well. Final score here, Tumwater 35, Clackamas 19. It's is the Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show on 1080 The Fan. Jason Swigart, Andrew Nemec back here at Clackamas High School, where Tumwater came down, the number one ranked 2A team in the state of Washington, and flexed their wing team muscle for a 35-19 victory. I think we've got the bulk of the 6A scores in. The 5A and 4As are trickling in as well. So if the drum corps is ready, let's fire them up and get going. As always, we start with the top 10. This is the coach's poll. 4-6A, you heard Will explain. 5th-ranked Tigard upsetting number one Lake Oswego 31-7. Thomas Ducart with the injury to Lake Oswego, limiting them offensively. Tigard shut down Casey Filkins. They improved to 4-0. We'll move up the rankings. Lake Oswego falls to 3-1. We'll see how far they go. And so you would assume then number two, Tualatin, with a victory would move up to number one. They handle Sunset 49-27. The Apollos able to score, just not able to keep up with Tualatin, who puts 7 touchdowns up.
Now, Tigard says, wait. Not so fast on Tualatin's just the new number one. Preseason rankings mean very little. Tigard says, hey, we're still undefeated, and we just crushed number one. Why not Tigard at number one? Great win by Tualatin. By the way, the two T programs, Tualatin, Tigard, if they play each other this year, oh my goodness, they
Well,
have
that's
to,
the
right?
rivalry game at the end of the season. That's week 9.
Are we there?
We may start looking at being there.
May start. Can yeah. I just, can we stick our flag in it, man?
But yeah.
We let's reach out.
Let's see
if they'll have us.
We'll see if
they
we
might
can
be
go
like,
out.
You know what?
I gotta
swag,
see where that game
can,
is.
Swag can come. Nemec? Not so much.
49-27, T-Wolves rolling. Central Catholic holding off Sherwood, so the Bowmen suffer their first loss. 35-29, Central Catholic improves to 3-1. Sherwood now 3-1 as well. So the Rams, a tough battle there. They go on the road. That's an important victory for them.
That's a huge victory for them. This Sherwood team is a really talented group, and it is tough to win in Sherwood, one of the wildest places to play in the entire state. I've said this before, Tigard and Sherwood, when things are rolling, are two of the toughest places to play in the entire state. I would also throw, and they haven't been there in a while, I would also throw Canby in the mix too, as one of those places that when things are good, it is rocking. A great win for Central Catholic, and yet another statement that this senior-laden team, more than 30 seniors, is going to be a force to be reckoned with throughout the season.
Well, an undefeated Alloa Warriors team trying to crack the top 10 at number 4 Jesuit. Last we heard, it was tied at 34. Aloha.
Here is the update.
Go ahead, Mike.
By the way, Nemec, someone tagged us both on this on Twitter. It's a live stream of the game. Jesuit's up 41-34. It appears in overtime as there's 0 seconds on the clock. So it looks like Aloha's got the ball trying to score to tie the game there.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Jesuit up 41-34. Aloha had an opportunity to kick an extra point to possibly win it in regulation. Jesuit blocked it and forced the overtime. Pardon me. Number 5, West Lynn on the road after shutting down Sheldon last week. They outscore Lake Ridge 48-27, so the Pacers fall to 1-3. West Lynn now 3-1, and we may see them again in a couple of weeks. We're looking at possibly catching up with them at Tigard in Week 8.
Yeah, no, I can't be bothered right now. I'm watching this overtime. No, okay. I'm just teasing you. No, West Lynn's a very good team, and you look at Lake Ridge and 1-3 on the year, and such a disappointing year because they've been talking about this year being the year for them all season long, and for multiple years, and as if it's not a bad enough omen that Elvis Okpla, their head coach, leaves the day before fall camp. They've been off to just a really, really rough start. They have the talent to turn it around, but it's not like it's going to get easy in the TRL. There is no going to be back-to-back weeks, get some easy wins, and you're okay. It's only going to get tougher as the season goes on because they're only going to get more banged up. Feel bad for the Lakers. I feel bad for your Pacers. And yet again, this West Lynn team proving that they're one of the state's absolute best.
The Aloha quarterback just evaded a huge rush and threw a 40-yard pass into the end zone up in the air, and the Aloha guy caught it in the end zone over two defenders.
I can't
41-40, extra
game.
Point to tie it for Aloha coming up.
Go for two.
My goodness.
Go for two.
We'll see what the
Go
Warriors do. North Medford, the team nobody's talking about, but they are 4-0, a 38-7 victory over Mountain View, number 8 in the coaches' rankings. And it'll be interesting. I'm not sure if they're coming north anytime soon, so they will fly under the radar, and we'll have to wait and see when we get in the playoffs who they get matched up with and what the Black Tornado looks like.
And every once in a while, we saw this a couple years ago with South Medford, every once in a while, it's usually a Medford school. They come out and you go, we have no point of reference. They haven't played anybody that we've seen, and they put a run together, and they're a pretty good football team. North Medford saying, hey, you guys aren't talking about us yet. Wait till playoff time. We're going to put a run together. And I hope they do. It's always fun when different parts of the state are really talented.
Number 9, Clackamas falling here to the number 1 2A team in Washington, 35-19. Number 9, West Salem goes down. Sheldon finally gets on the board, 28-14. They beat the Titans. So you have to hope some of their guys are getting healthy that we didn't get a chance to see at West Lynn last week.
Yeah, no Seth Figgin still. The Oregon Ducks commit Gunnar Robinson still out. But we knew they had pieces. We liked Griffin Line. We liked some of the playmakers on that Sheldon team. It just seemed like that West Lynn game we were at last week, things just kept getting worse and worse. And just it built on itself, and they weren't ever able to turn the tide. This is a pretty good football team. They're not going to be down long. And sure enough, we see that with a top 10 victory tonight. They're going to go for two here, it looks like. Aloha down one against Jesuit in overtime.
Grant hammered Roosevelt. You heard from Rashad, 66-30. Jefferson shuts out Madison, 58-0. Somebody's taking a timeout there. Metro League, a league game. Beaverton all over Westview, 48-12. So Beaverton now 3-1. Westview falls to 2-2. We mentioned we'll see Beaverton at Sunset Week 7.
I'm really excited about that game. I love this Beaverton offense with Carson Budke, Trent Walker. Trent Walker, I talked about, is a potential all-state wide receiver. I think he had a 98-yard pick 6 tonight as well. My guy, Trent Walker, putting in work. And that game, 48-12, It was actually 48-0 Beaverton at halftime. Incredible start to that game.
Greater Valley League game. South Salem was leading Sprague 21-18. That was in the fourth quarter. Non-league action. Liberty holds off Oregon City 42-33. The Falcons are now 3-1.
Nice bounce back after losing to Beaverton in what it amounts to kind of a rivalry game, frankly, just last week.
David Douglas, victory over Glencoe 34-21. Both those teams now 2-2 on the season. Franklin going across the Columbia to play Hudson's Bay. Both teams looking for their first win, but it looks like it's going to be the Eagles. They've got a 33-7 lead over the Quakers. Southridge all over Grants Pass, 56-36. Did he catch that? Aloha has beaten Jesuit 42-41 in overtime. My goodness. Mountainside, a 56-7 drubbing of Reynolds. That's the Raiders' first loss. The Fighting Mannions are now 3-1. Century gets their first victory of the year, 33-14 over Centennial. Newburgh, a 41-14 beatdown of Canby. So the Tigers are 3-1, Cougars 0-4. Summit was going to get their first victory. They were all over Lincoln 51-22. Barlow improves to 3-1, a 21-9 victory over McNary that falls to 0-4. Bend, a 28-14 victory over Roseburg, and South Medford beating McMinnville 21-7. We go to 5A top 10 action. Number one Thurston just keeps cruising, 4-0 now with a 50-7 beat of Eagle Point. Number two West Albany shutting out South Albany 49-0. So the Bulldogs are 4-0. Still looking for a Silverton score as they were in league. They were taking on, or they had a non-league game against North Salem. And number four Crater, we don't have a final there just yet. Elsewhere, it was number 10 Pendleton upsetting number 7 Scappoose, although that was a home game for the Buckaroos, 32-14. As we mentioned, Thurston, a 50-7 winner. Ashland, 33-7 over Redmond. So the number 9 Grizzlies improved to 4-0. And St. Helens outscoring Wilson 56-49. A couple of 4A scores for you. Number one Banks, the Fighting Dusties, 37-7 over number 9 Tillamook, handing the Cheesemakers their first loss. So the Braves are 4-0. South Salem has gone final. They are victors 28-18. Number two Mazama down in Klamath Falls area, 49-0. They shut out Phoenix. Number three LeGrand, a 43-0 win over Klatskanai. Fourth-ranked Gladstone holds off number 7 Estacada 23-20. And now it's time to check in with our man in the Greater St. Helens League. He had the call over on sister station 910 ESPN Portland tonight of Columbia River at Hawkinson. Luke Anderson. Good evening, Luke. How was your affair?
Good evening, Jason Swigard. Hope you're having a wonderful night out there. But we had a kind of an unfortunate game here. It was a really competitive game in the first half. Hawkinson had the lead, but we were seeing some really great quarterback play from Mason Pretty, the quarterback for Columbia River. Really dynamic player, was making some nice plays. They scored on their opening drive, got a field goal on their second drive. But unfortunately, at the end of the first half, Hawkinson knocked him out on a late hit on a fourth down play as they were trying to score as time expired in the first half. And he missed the entire second half, and that led to an absolute rout by Hawkinson. And they won 56-9. The game wasn't as close as far as the score was concerned in the first half as the competitive nature of it was, because Levi Crum just played a fantastic game. He ran for a touchdown. He threw for 5. Found his favorite target, Peyton Brammer, 3 times. Found Liam Mallory for a nice 45-yard touchdown pass over the middle. So Hawkinson, the number 3 team at the 2A level, took care of the Columbia River Chieftains. But the big thing for Columbia River is their junior quarterback, Mason Purdy. He was knocked out. The coaching staff told us at the end that it is concussion, most likely. Just hopeful he doesn't miss too much time. But after he left, they put in their sophomore backup, and Columbia River couldn't move the ball the entire game. So the second half, pretty uneventful. The only first down that Columbia River got was on a penalty, a unsportsmanlike conduct by Hawkinson.
And so Hawkinson now ready. We saw Tumwater down here, the number one 2A team, and they took down Clackamas and looked every bit the part. We saw Hawkinson go down to Archbishop Murphy earlier in the year. Can this Hawkinson team get it together? Do they have enough to make a big run, or is the loss of Racanelli just going to be too much to overcome this season?
Well, I'll tell you, so they made their playoff run last year without Peyton Brammer. So Brammer and Sawyer are best friends. They play opposite sides of each other on the football field. They play together on the basketball court. Peyton Brammer, more of a basketball player. His buddy Sawyer Racanelli talked him into playing football and vice versa. But they have all the playmakers they need. Peyton Brammer, 6'5". 210 pounds, plays on the outside and runs like a deer. He had a touchdown pass where he outran the entire defense and broke it down for 60 yards down the sideline. And just as dynamic as his buddy Sawyer ever was. But the difference is Sawyer is just such a football player. He's a better defender than Brammer. He plays a great linebacker position. I was talking with him and his dad, Josh Racanelli, who's the offensive coordinator, and they're not sure if he's going to play linebacker or if he's going to play wide receiver when he gets to the University of Washington next year. But offensively, I think Brammer's every bit the player he is. And the big thing for Hawkinson is they have so many guys that can go out on the edge and make plays. The thing about this year's Hawkinson team, and we didn't see, you know, their names called a whole ton tonight because Levi Crum played such a great game, but Cody Wheeler and Daniel Thompson, their running backs, are as good a duo they've had in the backfield in the last 3 years. So even with their state championship runs, they haven't had as balanced of an offense. And partly because Sawyer Racanelli's not there, they're going to have to throw the ball around to some other guys on offense and hand the ball up a little bit more. So I think if Hawkinson can clean up some of the mistakes they made against Archbishop Murphy with all the penalties and negative plays that they had, they did a better job. They didn't have the negative plays tonight, but they still had a lot of penalties. So I think they need a little bit more discipline, and they could be right back in a state championship game and maybe facing the Tumwater State team you saw tonight like they did 2 years ago.
Jason Swigard here with Luke Anderson. Sorry about that. Had a little background noise.
Yeah.
So,
thought you were having a stroke.
What else was going on with the Greater St. Helens League teams tonight?
So we had a couple early games played tonight. The first game played out at McKenzie Stadium was between number 10 Union. Union lost last week to Eastlake and dropping down to number 10 in the ratings. They played number 7 Chiawana. Held on for the victory 21-20. Union had the touchdown lead, and Chiawana scored late but missed the extra point wide right and held on for the victory. Skyview played the early game at Kiggins against Rogers from up in Puyallup, beat them 55-21. Camas is the number 4 team at the 4A level. They were playing against Bellevue, who is the number 7 team at the 3A level. They beat them 24-7 up in Bellevue. Mountain View gets another victory for 3 in a row over Heritage. Hudson's Bay playing against Franklin in Oregon has a 20-0 lead is the latest update that I have from there. Prairie off to a 4-0 start. Last week they went to 3-0 for the first time in 2 decades. They beat Battleground tonight in kind of the rivalry matchup between 3A Prairie and 4A Battleground. They won 38-6. They jumped out to a 38-0 lead. A.J. Dixon, their quarterback, had 2 rushing touchdowns and a pass to his twin brother for another score and got up to a quick 21-0 lead in the first quarter and kind of ran away with that one. Evergreen gets another win, 49-7 over Rochester. The Fort Vancouver lost 36-0 to Cedar Park Christian from up in Bothell. Washougal falls to WF West 23-7. Richfield gets a win. They beat Mark Morris 20-13. Woodland gets a huge victory after their loss last week. They beat R.A. Long 55-7. We saw them last week in the game of the week fall to Washougal, but they certainly got things rolling this week. Kingsway Christian gets a win 67-0 over Riverside from Oregon. And Le Center, who jumped into their rankings at the 1A level for the first time this week, they were in at number 9. They beat number 2, 2B team Kalama 36-8. Kalama's won back-to-back state titles at the 2B level in Washington, and they beat Woodland, a 2A team, earlier already, but they got beat by 1A Le Center. So now Le Center 4-0 and number 9 looking to move up in the 1A rankings. Hoquiam beat White Salmon 56-10, and Stevenson gets a win over Irigan in Oregon. They beat them 21-6, and the final score at the 1A level, Castle Rock beat Elma 48-7.
All right. No Ducks tomorrow, so what are you guys working on for Center and the Saint?
Oh, are you kidding me? Will Darkins is going to be so excited about everything going on that is Beavers. A lot of people thinking that Oregon State has a chance against Stanford. Of course, you may have heard about some recruiting kerfuffles, but I won't get into that when Andrew Nemec's on the broadcast. So I'll let him take over that for tonight, but I'm sure we'll talk about that with Will tomorrow. He'll be plenty fired up. And then getting into the first quarter of the NFL season and kind of talk about where teams lie. There's a lot of 3-0 teams. I think 7 of them left in the NFL, so we'll talk about that as well.
All right. Thanks, you, as always. We'll talk to you next Friday night.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, guys. Have a wonderful night. Best part of my evening, talking to you guys.
There you go, Luke Anderson on the call tonight as Hockenson pulled away from Columbia River. And you certainly hope a quarterback there for the Chieftains isn't out very long. It's always disappointing to see.
No doubt, and it just seems like we've seen a number of these injuries, and it's so disappointing. Whether it's a hand, like with Kennewell or Dukart, or something more serious, like with Gunnar Robinson or this quarterback, you just hope everybody gets healthy. These are young kids, and as much as they love playing the game, you never want to see something that's potentially permanent or life-altering for these kids. We just wish everybody gets healthy and gets back on the field all in one piece.
We'll take our final break. When we come back, we will talk about Devin Williams and just kind of briefly. We're running out of time, so you don't have to go too in-depth. Let everybody know just kind of where things are now and what still has to be unraveled before he's actually at the University of Oregon and on the roster. We'll do that. We'll also get a couple of late scores, and we're going to have a shakeup in the top 10 of the 6A. Jesuit loses in overtime to Alloa. Tigard upsets Lake Oswego. Central Catholic knocks off Sherwood. Plenty to get going. Clackamas losing to Tumwater here. Our game. So interesting.
Lost.
And West Salem lost. Sheldon gets their first victory. So a lot of shakeup with the top 10 in the 6A level. Once again, our final score here, it was Tumwater 35, Clackamas 19. We continue with the Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show on 1080 The Fan. Jason Swigart, Andrew Nemec wrapping things up here from Clackamas High School on a wild week four night of this high school season, where we saw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the top 10 6A teams go down. Now, granted, two of them were playing other top 10 teams, but number one, number four.
Number one, Lake Oswego. Number four, Jesuit. Number 7, Sherwood. And co-number 9s, Clackamas and West Salem,
all going down. So you have Tualatin and Tigard and Central Catholic, who will be vying for that number one slot. I would assume 4-0 Alloa, after knocking off Jesuit at Cronin Field, will move into the top 10. And then we'll have to see who else is lingering outside. North Medford will certainly move up at 4-0. Number 5, West Lynn, will move up. And you look at other teams that are worthy. Now, I don't think Lake Oswego will fall completely out. I don't think number 7 Sherwood will fall completely out. I mean, Sherwood played them within a score, 35-29. So it'll be interesting to see how far some of those teams at the top fall. But certainly injuries are playing a key factor early on in this season. Unfortunately, Clackamas didn't have a couple of starters, and then we saw a couple of starters go out earlier in this game. And it just that has a ripple effect. Usually one, maybe one injury or two, but when you start either getting them all at one position or you start to get four, five, six starters, some of those guys go both ways. Now you're having to move guys around. You're having some younger guys get in a little more frequently, and it puts a lot of stress on a lot of other positions to have to cover and make up for it in limiting what you can do sometimes offensively, schematically.
No doubt. I mean, you look at the top 10, and part of the reason we're seeing some of the upsets is not that these lower seed teams are bad. We're not taking anything away from them. Great wins by Aloha and all the schools that had big wins. But Lake Oswego has a key injury with Thomas Dukart. Jesuit, Andy Alfieri is the top prospect in the state of Oregon. He's out. Sheldon has the number 2 prospect in the state of Oregon, Seth Figgins. He hasn't played in weeks. They got a win tonight, but they're 1-3 on the year. Clackamas has a number of injuries. They lose tonight. We're seeing a number of teams. Westview loses 48-12. Their star running back is out. It's been a brutal start to the season, and I think people forget how much these kids are putting on the line and really how much they risk, but also how much they love the game to put themselves in that position. So we've seen some teams already battling through injuries, and we're just now early. That's part of football. It'll be interesting to see as this season progresses who can get healthy, who's going to experience more injuries, and who finds themselves on the top of the mountain by the time this thing's all said and done.
It'll be certainly interesting to see how this all shakes out. Next week we'll be at Hillsborough Stadium, number 3 Central Catholic, hosting Jesuit. We'll see if they're still in the top 10. I would imagine they probably would be. Okay, quickly, it's been the story of the week. In terms of football, Devin Williams, 5-star receiver, number 1 athlete in his class of 2018, decided to transfer from USC. The reports initially come out early in the week, then the release from Oregon State that he was joining the team there. Not so fast. Was he in school? Was he not in school? Then he went back to L.A. today on his personal Twitter account, announces he's going to Oregon. There's a lot of layers to this story, so not to put you on the spot, but if his announcement is correct that he is indeed going to the University of Oregon, what will we need to see? What will have to occur before the University of Oregon can make an announcement that he has officially joined the team?
Well, he needs to go to a class or start football activities, and I think with this kid I don't think it's a criticism to say that he's been wishy-washy. And if you sign paperwork, which is what I'm reporting, that he signed paperwork with Oregon State, it ended up being non-binding paperwork because he didn't start class or didn't start football activities. You know, Oregon State, I understand that they have a right to think they're going to get him. At the same time, there's a reason in the transfer portal. You don't add him to the roster or make an announcement until they start class or start football activities. He signed paperwork Wednesday. They announced it Wednesday at 5 p.m. Thursday morning, he left. He went home to Los Angeles. A source close to him said, that I talked to said his recruitment's not over. And on Thursday, I'm going, how is this possible? He's on Oregon State's roster. He announces Friday morning that he's going to Oregon. Oregon State has since removed him from the roster. They've removed the news release that he is part of the team. We'll have to wait and see to make sure he gets to Eugene, because you never know with this stuff, as we found out in the last 48 hours. But it is looking very much like it's going to be Oregon. And at this point, there is no chance, I feel comfortable reporting, there is no chance it'll be Oregon State. He could change his mind again, but Oregon State is not involved in this recruitment at this point anymore.
So if there's just some honest mistakes, some miscommunication along the way, that's one thing. Is there a possibility that there is any possible hanky-panky with how all of this went down? And what would constitute the NCAA starting to look in to see if any violations occurred?
And that's where just being as honest and transparent as I can be here, I'm not real clear. I've talked to a number of people who are not real clear. The reason is the timing depends on when he signed the paperwork and if he was involved in any type of, and so far I have no. He did not go to class at Oregon State. He was not involved in football activities. So Oregon, even though he signed a financial aid agreement, can still contact him. He's still available to be contacted. The issue is going to be does the NCAA rule it tampering that he's committed to Oregon and he's on their roster, on Oregon State's roster? Did they jump the gun and that's a penalty? Do we say, hey, this kid told people all sorts of different things, everyone put their hands up, let's say we're going to just call this a wash and he goes where he goes? I'm not sure how this is going to play out. What I will say is it seems very clear based on what I do know, none of this is going to be a major violation, because as far as I understand, based on the sources I've talked to, no one intentionally committed a penalty. This is a situation where everyone thought maybe the kid was still available or not available, and everyone thought they were doing the right thing based on what the kid was telling them potentially or what they knew to be true about his situation. The intent is a part of this, and it doesn't appear there was intent on anyone's side to mislead. This is two different programs trying to recruit a kid, and he signed paperwork at Oregon State, left, and now appears to be headed to Oregon. That does seem to be the plan. That fits what I'm hearing, but you just with this kind of thing, you just want to hold off until he's officially enrolled in school.
Yeah, we'll wait until he's on the campus at Eugene. Oh, by the way, he had played for USC while the semester and classes had started in Los Angeles, so there's that sticky wicket still. Somebody might ask that question. We'll see what actually is going on down there if he is in Los Angeles whenever he gets to Eugene. So certainly more to come. Check out, you can follow Andrew online at Andrew Nemec on Twitter. Certainly all of his work on OregonLive.com, and you can catch the recruiting show 7 o'clock. Unfortunately, not this Thursday. The Seahawks play Thursday night, but we'll do a podcast early in the week, Tuesday or Wednesday, and get the very latest out there to the people.
And I think I'm going to try to come up with an extra podcast. Every week we do a recap, and we've got a lot to talk about from this week's games. We'll also preview next week's action. And then there's so much going on right now in recruiting. And as much as the Devin Williams thing is a negative for Oregon State, it looks bad. It does look like they jumped the gun with that announcement. They also, as an aside, have over 100 alumni coming to campus. The number one linebacker in the nation in the class of 2021, Keith Brown, is coming. The number two all-purpose back in the country is coming, Demir Collins out of Jefferson. So yes, the Devin Williams thing certainly looks like a negative, but let's give Oregon State credit where it's due. They are hosting the number one inside linebacker and number two all-purpose back in the country this weekend. They deserve credit for that.
And a Stanford team without KJ Costello, and an opportunity for a big victory early in Jonathan Smith's tenure at Oregon State. It could certainly help keep the momentum going for the Beavers. That'll wrap things up for us tonight. We want to thank so many people. I want to thank Coach Drake and Coach Beatty for all their help during the week with information. We want to thank the athletic director out here, Vicky Nelms, and the entire crew in the press box for their hospitality and getting us hooked up. And oh, by the way, the chili is fantastic. It was one of the guys' moms here in the press box that made the chili. Awesome.
It was killer, man. I put a ton of cheese and onions in it.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. The bar has been set.
That's right.
But here's the thing. The Big's Chicken halftime show. We still have not gotten.
We're going to work on that. We're going to be in Hillsboro next week.
I need
week.
Big's Chicken. I've heard it's.
You and guys, we're going to Sunset Week 7.
You guys always talk about how good it is. You always talk, and I've never had it, and I looked it up online.
Yeah.
The pictures look phenomenal.
Yeah.
I believe it's good. The reviews are good.
All right.
I want some Big's Chicken.
We'll see what we can do.
And
we'll
I'm going to give an honest review.
We got two West Side appearances coming up. Next week at Hillsboro Stadium, and then Week 7 will be at Sunset. Week 6, Thursday night game, we're down at Wilsonville. We're working on Weeks 8 and 9.
But we might have a leader in the clubhouse in Week 9, right?
True.
Because I'm wanting Tiger Tualatin.
Yeah. Man, we could be looking at that.
I want it in the face.
Well, we'll see. Okay. We gotta see how it all pieces together.
Maybe we're uninvited. I'm uninvited.
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll make those phone calls. Thanks, as always, to Mike Lynch back in the 1080 The Fan Studios holding the fort down. Dakota Cornelius, our on-site engineer. Thanks to Will and Rashad and Luke for their contributions here as well. Coming up tomorrow, Ducks have the bye week. So on The Fan at 11:30, we'll have pregame 12:30 kick. Ole Miss at number 2, Alabama. Over on 910 ESPN Portland. It'll be USC and Washington at 12:30. Seahawks are on the road on Sunday, so 11 a.m. after Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad. We'll have pregame 105 kick against the Cardinals, an NFL doubleheader for you over on 910 ESPN Portland starting at 9:30. So football, football, football all weekend long. And then next week it'll be a Major League playoff action over on 910 ESPN Portland. So we're getting into that time of year where everything heats up. Hockey and basketball starting, the baseball playoffs, and football, football, football. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Once again, your final score, Tumwater 35, Clackamas 19. For Andrew Nemec, I'm Jason Swigard. Have a very good night.